brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
The NFL season is about to kick off. Know what that means? It's time to bet, win, and get paid at MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has more odds and more prop bets than any other sports book, and absolutely nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. Sign up now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to bet your favorite teams. Want more? How about $100,000 more? You win MyBookie's first ever NFL handicapping super contest, and $100,000 is all yours. Don't play on some no-name sports book. Bet with the best at MyBookie.ag. Use promo code RADIO to get your exclusive double your money offer today. That's promo code RADIO. Play, win, and get paid at MyBookie.
Hey, St. Louis, your wait is over. The newest Lady Jane's Haircuts from Ennis Sunset Hills is now open on Lindbergh Boulevard, just south of Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. Get a precision haircut, hot leather neck shave, and hot towel treatment for just $14. Lady Jane's is unreal. 12 HD TVs, comfy leather recliners, and the best stylist in all of St. Louis. Lady Jane's in Sunset Hills on Lindbergh Boulevard, just south of Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. Lady Jane's in Sunset Hills. It's wicked awesome.
At St. John Vianney High School, our two-semester college-style schedule fully embraces the university model to prepare students for college, life, and whatever lies ahead. St. John Vianney High School, developing men of character and accomplishment since 1960. Check us out at Vianney.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Okay, I just spit out my latest addiction, Atomic Fireball Jawbreakers. I'm on that kick now. I went through my Bubblicious bubble tape series, and now I'm on the red cinnamon atomic fireball jawbreakers. But for you folks, I spit one out before it's time, before I finished it off. That's how much we love you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of snacks and desserts and going to the lobby, time to check in with the guy who walked in here a while ago and gave me the greatest news. By informing me, well, let me introduce him first. Courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the great Stanley Cup winning St. Louis Blues. And you can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Let me give you the numbers in case you have, and feel free to enlighten us. Movie, TV series, good, bad, in between, whatever. Recommending it, telling us to run away from it. Either way, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0598. Say hello to Dan Buffa, everybody.
Hello. Hey, can you say that one more time?
Say what?
Stanley Cup winning St. Louis.
There we go. I know you love to hear
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, it's
go back and listen to the podcast. You'll hear it again. Okay.
The names are on the cup.
I know.
So Dan walks in, Dan Buffa, and I said, hey, thank you for loaning me this. And I gave him back his 4-disc DVD set of season 3 of Banshee. And he proceeds to tell me he's watching 4. I didn't know there was a season 4. I thought it ended with 3.
Again.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Can't you tell by the way the last episode of the
season
ended?
Yes, and that's what's so weird. My wife and I watched it last night, and we just looked at each other, and I thought, wait a minute. They must be planning on doing a spinoff.
Yeah.
And then what we didn't know was there is a season 4. And sorry, I know the people you're listening to, Banshee, what's that? Listen to me. Unless you don't like If you didn't like Breaking Bad, Ozark, any of that, then you're not going to like this. But if you did like those, this is addiction television.
This is like Breaking Bad with lots of violence and sex thrown
in. It's the most violent thing, and the sex scenes are the closest to porn.
They are, yeah.
They are.
Cinemax show.
Yeah, or some people call it Skinemax. Skinemax. So there's a fourth season. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, and they end season three. There's a couple characters.
This could keep our marriage together for another couple of months.
See, I just did that. I mean, without even really thinking I was doing that, by coming
you might have extended the life of our marriage.
You know, it's me and Kevin Costner right now keeping it all together.
And she doesn't even object to the violence. And I would have thought, oh.
She doesn't like violence?
No, she doesn't object to it.
Okay.
Because it's the most violent, graphic, bloody thing I've ever seen, yet you can't stop watching it.
Well, when I interviewed the lead guy, Anthony Starr, and he said
the
best thing about this season four is that I don't have to fight as much. They basically don't. He asked the people behind the show, like,
He's probably tired.
Do I have to have all this? He gets his butt kicked. He's about as tall as maybe Tom Cruise.
No, see, my wife said he's 6 feet tall. I said, there's no way. I think she said he's 5'11". I said, there's no way.
Well, I mean, maybe on The Boys. Does he look a little bit taller on The Boys? He plays Homelander.
Here, head of research.
Yeah, he is.
Anthony, A-N-T-O-N-Y.
I'd say 5'11".
Not Anthony. Maybe that. Anthony Starr. Is it one R or two R's?
It's two R's. Anthony
Starr. How tall is he?
5'11".
There you go.
I hate it when she's right. Because he looks short.
He was on a show next to like Geno Seegers, who plays Chayton, this monstrous Native American.
His name is Chayton.
That's one of the characters in the show who's the head of the Kanaho tribe.
You said who poos.
Who poos. That's a new one.
Well, he does.
Geno Seegers, you can look him up. Does. Chayton Littlestone. He plays the leader of a Kanaho gang who goes after Lucas Hood and kind of really does some bad stuff.
And by the way,
to him.
His demise is the bloodiest, most graphic. Look, for anybody who knows what a shotgun is and what a shotgun will do.
Buckshot.
I don't want to give a lot away here, but I've never seen a scene. Here's the closest thing I've seen to it. In Full Metal Jacket, when that nut job sits on the toilet and shoots himself with a rifle.
Private
in the
pile.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the first thing on film that I had ever seen that rattled me.
Dude, do we have time for a story? It's a movie related. It's a TV show related story.
What's your segment?
Okay, so speaking of that episode where Lucas Hood, you know, spoiler, it's been out for 5 years. He tracks down Chayton, this guy who got away from town into New Orleans.
Who killed Hood's girlfriend?
Yeah, was I wrong about that episode in that precinct, in that police precinct, that tribal?
No.
A whole episode, it's just they're locked in there. But he goes to New Orleans, and they shot those scenes in New Orleans. So when I went down there 3 years ago, what do you think I did when I went to New Orleans?
Shot
somebody
with a shot.
Well, almost. That was that one crazy night on Royal Street. But I wanted to find out where they filmed those scenes. So I went all over the French Quarter. And I got some hints from a guy who...
Oh, that was your excuse for being in the French Quarter.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh no. Yeah. But this was one of the plans I had was to, you know, get over there, you know, get a couple of drinks with me, of course, but then get over there. And I found the place where they have that fight in that hotel upstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
And where they jumped down.
Yeah.
I found that hotel. And I found the bar where him and Brock go to.
Where he and Brock.
Where he and Brock went to get those beers. So I basically sat on the bench. So I found two location spots. I didn't find the underground fighting thing, but that was
enough. Because what we're doing is what I'm doing myself, what I criticize other people
for. We're
doing.
Making them watch it.
Well,
though.
No, we're talking about something most people have no idea what we're talking
Nobody
about.
Nobody else is talking about this right now, though.
Okay, but I don't want to lose them. Let me just say this to you, folks.
Watch
Ozark,
it.
Breaking Bad, that kind of thing. Banshee, Banshee. I had no idea it went four seasons. I would pay, if it cost $100 to watch the fourth season, I'd probably pay.
And really, and one more thing, it went four seasons because the creator of the show told Cinemax, that's it. It could have went longer, so that's your endorsement.
It could have gone longer.
It could have went longer.
Could have gone.
I found a website that
gone.
Dan Buffo will... I found, are you guys done arguing over grammar?
Yeah,
no,
I can't
yet.
Help it. I can't help it.
I found a website
He's helping me.
I think you'll really like. I didn't know this website existed.
Uh-oh.
Wiki quote.
Wiki.
WikiQuote. It's the site you go to.
It's great.
It's incredible. It's the
What's
site you
on
go to.
WikiQuote?
Every movie that ever existed, the best lines from that movie.
Message me that.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. That kind of thing. Give us some and let's see if we can get the movie.
Well, the reason I found it was because the trucker in... Did you ever see the American Pie movies?
Yes.
Okay. In American Pie 2, there's
is
a scene...
Is there Kevin Spacey in one of those?
No.
What am I thinking of?
American Beauty.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's great.
But I think I did see it.
Well, the trucker in the movie American Pie 2 died. Now, I was trying to remember what quote he said in the movie.
The trucker.
So
how does this work? Can you go to that site and go, what was the quote from, and just put the movie and a character, and it'll give it to you?
Do they have a search web? Is that
or if you put
great.
The quote in, it'll tell you the
Well,
movie.
You can put in the actor, and all like his best lines from all his favorite movies. It's kind of complex, because you have to click a few things. But, like Clark Gable, for example, I popped in Clark Gable, and it's got like the best lines of his movies from... the Hollywood Book of Scandals to The Shocking, and all the other movies that he made,
like De Niro and Samuel L. Jackson, they got to be on there.
Remember that the women who worked with Clark Gable said his breath was really horrible. He had like the stink in his breath in Hollywood.
I've heard that about Russell Crowe too.
Yeah, I'm telling you
that
stinky breath.
And Cinderella Man, when she had to get really close to him. Mm. My dad was thinking Renee Zellweger is probably trying to run away.
The first thing I would think to do, if I've got a hot scene opposite Charlize Theron, I'd chew mints, gum, gargle.
Two packages of mints.
You bet. I do not want her. I want her to want more retakes with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the worst thing. Imagine if you have to, and think about it, all the takes they have to do. So, if he doesn't have good breath, that means the next 2 hours are just going to be stink time.
No.
So, okay, I'll give you one.
Okay.
The first night's the toughest, no doubt about it. They march you in naked as the day you were born, skin burning and half blind from that delousing SHIT they throw on
you. Okay, Mike, is this somebody?
Lining. I know what
that's
from.
Is this somebody really famous that says this?
I know what it's from.
Could you try to do it again with your best impression of that person?
The first night's the toughest, no doubt about it. They march in naked as the day you were born.
Oh, it has to be Morgan
Freeman.
Yeah.
Shawshank.
That's it.
I'm sorry.
I said my name first.
All right, I'm disqualifying myself from the next one.
I'm just thrilled that you knew that was my Morgan Freeman imitation.
I can tell.
I can remember that because it's like narration early on in the movie when he's talking to Andy Dufresne.
When Andy Dufresne is getting processed. And they bring him in from the bus.
I can't tell you how many times in the house alone or in the car by myself I've tried to do Morgan Freeman.
It's hard.
It's very tough. Yeah. This one of the groan. He kind of groans when he's
something he has a cold.
He's mumbling.
Like I could give you another one, but if I did the voice, if I did my imitation
just
of
saying.
It, you would know it right away.
But well, let's do it anyway.
So you want me to do the imitation of the actual actor, or just give you the line?
No, both at the same time.
You know, it's funny while a young
man...
Oh,
Forrest Gump.
That's it. I mean, that would be like me doing a walk-in line. It'd be over.
See, and I knew that. I knew he'd want to try.
You got my Freeman and you got
give
my
us
Forrest.
One more quote without the character voice.
And you've got to say your name before
I'm disqualifying myself. Go ahead. With just your voice, another famous quote.
All right.
All the gin joints.
Follow me. I'm on the leader.
I'm on the leader. This must be a thriller.
Follow me.
Boy, that was...
They're from Top Gun?
See, if I did...
Ah, that's good.
It's close, but it's not quite right. But you're in the right genre of it being in an airplane or in a fighter jet.
I'm on the leader.
See, now I'm going to do the imitation in the actor's voice.
Okay,
ready?
Star Wars.
I'm on the leader.
I'm on the leader.
Wow. There's two things that he'll be remembered for: is Field of Dreams and Darth Vader. James Earl Jones.
Tim never realized till now how good his impressions are. You didn't even have to ask him who is.
I will say that the part of that line that he did really well was "The day you were born." That was a good line. That's where I knew that sounds like Morgan Freeman. That was good.
Thank you.
What's the site?
WikiQuote.
Like Wikipedia is like the encyclopedia. Yeah. WikiQuote is the encyclopedia of all the quotes.
Wow.
So just remember WikiQuote.
Because Tim, remember when you were in the main chair and you did a trivia with us? I think you did quotes.
When I did Buffett's segment when you were gone, between his reviews of ratings and movies and stuff, I brought in like 10 movie lines. And when he would have a pause, I'd bring in a line and play trivia with everybody and say, can you guess what movie this is from? It was kind of a fun
hour. The thing is, there are only a handful of quotes that pretty much everybody should know, mm-hmm. even if you didn't see the movie.
Yeah.
Now, Follow the Leader is not one I'd put it. For example, mm-mm. You Had Me at Hello. Come on, Jerry Maguire.
So Follow Me the Leader is the way that he delivers that line.
Right.
Is what it is. But
0.21 gigawatts.
Okay, Dan, without the impression, no. I think everybody would know.
Yeah.
How about this? What are you looking at, Butthead? Come on, Back
Here,
to the Future.
I have one. It's by one. I've used it as a sports writer in many conversations and articles. You ready for it?
I worked in there that he's a sports writer.
Yeah. Well, it's shameless plug.
Name dropping.
Right. Yeah. I'm doing it all year. Please explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old.
Wow, that sounds.
Oh,
familiar.
I got that one. Michael Scott, The Office.
It's something else. It's in a movie too.
Oh, is it?
A very well-known actor does it.
I have no idea.
Is it a sports theme?
It's a serious courtroom drama where somebody
say it again.
One, please explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old.
Oh, it's Joe Pesci in.
No, but close. The person in the movie won an Oscar for it. Not this guy. Though.
Is it an old movie?
It's from the 90s.
Ooh.
If I said the actor, it's one of his. Let me tell you the actor who's in it.
Yeah.
Not the guy who said it. Tom Hanks is in the movie.
Please explain it to me. I don't know.
Is it Philadelphia?
Yes, it's Denzel Washington.
Oh.
Where he's basically, he's at a wit's end with this judge.
Okay, but see, I don't think that's a. I don't think that qualifies as one of the everybody knows. Like, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
No matter how you say it, Gone with the Wind, people know that.
Or Play It Again.
Play It Again, Sam. Yeah, but he doesn't actually ever say that.
No.
He never says the words. Play it again, Sam. No.
He doesn't say it for her, you can play it for me.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like Cary Grant never said, Judy. He never said that. Isn't that weird how that gets started? And they never said it.
But that's just something I've always... I use it on Twitter a lot.
I've never seen Casablanca. Who has seen Casablanca in this room?
No.
That does not surprise me.
I watched
it 5 times.
I tried to watch it, and I could not get through it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
One of your favorite movies?
No, one of my favorite Humphrey movies.
Is Casablanca?
Yeah.
All right, who in the room saw it? And here's another one.
I don't remember a thing about it.
Yeah.
I was forced to watch it in a drama class I took in high school. I was forced to watch it.
That's where I first watched it.
Citizen Kane.
Okay, Citizen Kane. That's the one I was going to mention that as long as I can remember, one of the all-time great. I watched that. The worst thing I've ever. Horrible.
I didn't like it.
I couldn't make it through that one either.
It's one of those movies you go, I can understand why people liked it, but I don't like it.
The ones I didn't. We were forced to watch these Jimmy Stewart movies,
Yeah.
He went to Washington, and he had the 9-foot-tall rabbit and stuff.
Harvey.
Was he a star back then?
Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah.
Was he in 12 Angry Men, or was that...
Henry Fonda.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan. Henry Fonda, GAF.
Get yourself a GAF Viewmaster.
That's pretty good.
Man. You know what? I don't think I've said this since Peter Fonda died, but Dan Buffett, this to me was hilarious. One of the big network news anchors came on that night and said, a Hollywood legend has passed away. Really? Peter Fonda is not a Hollywood legend. He's the son of a legend, the brother of a legend. Peter Fonda's no Hollywood legend.
I think he's more of a guy that the best roles from him kind of flew under the radar, like Yuli's Gold. He was good in that.
Okay, Easy Rider. Now name two more. You can't do it.
Well, not really a support. You know what? No. I watched him in Last Before He Died was Wild Hogs with John Travolta. Very bad movie.
That's right.
Bad movie.
That was,
he had a cameo, basically.
Mr. Bad Acne, Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta was basically wearing a sleeveless shirt the whole movie.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, man? Get over here. Terrible.
He's just terrible.
I like Ray Liotta's like playing grandpas in TV commercials these days. You know, like
he's playing,
I guess he's in his 60s.
Or how about in that one for cigarette? Hey, Chantix.
Chantix.
Yeah. It's like you know he's smoking when that's done.
Oh sure.
He's
can we have a cigarette?
Yeah. Okay. The part where he's in the car with the script in his hand, it's like, oh, Ray, come on, man, you're better than this.
He's 64 years old. I didn't realize that.
He was in a show with J Lo where his eyes literally could scare you.
Oh no! Leota has got those piercing. He's got those Kirstie Alley eyes.
Yeah,
she has.
He looks like almost like he's looking down.
By the way, she's fat now or slim? Which is
I think
she
she's
now?
She's fat again.
Is she back up?
Fat. Yeah, I think she went back to fat.
I'll tell you what. She's hot looking. I'm Kirstie Alley to me.
Yeah, look who's talking.
Back in the day,
really. Yeah.
Did you ever see the Match Game? Back in the 70s.
Is that the guy that held the long microphone?
Yes, Gene Rayburn.
Yeah, Gene Rayburn. Oh.
Kirstie Alley was on. She was a contestant on Match Game, and he asked her what she was doing, and she was wanting to get into acting.
I saw that.
She's back to skinny. She's back to, like, eating disorder skinny.
Okay. Oh, my God. Is that her now?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, you know what? I know she's too thin, but she's hot.
Hey, we go out, I'll eat the meals, and she can just stand there and
look at it. I think Kirstie Alley is.
Yeah. You know what was really good when she was young was in Kathleen Turner, Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas.
She's the size of the Hindenburg.
Now she's scary looking.
She's the size of your garage. She's gigantic.
You
wouldn't even know who she is.
Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile.
Wachowski or something. Yeah, she played a detective. Right. That was good, too.
And how about the first time you saw, after you had not seen her for a long time, and you saw Sally Struthers.
Oh, my goodness.
And you go, whoa, what happened here?
Kathleen Turner was in that David Duchovny show, Californication.
Yeah,
she showed up and scared me.
Yeah, no. Frightening.
Oh, man, no, that's
In fact,
You're
you
gone.
Look and go, I know her.
I know her.
I've seen her somewhere. And
I know half of her.
Yeah. I knew her when she was, And look, folks, we're not making fun of fat people.
We're not.
I've been there. I've been there.
The whole Bill Maher, James Gordon thing.
I'm still not thin. It's just that it's shocking when you see somebody who is so either cute, hot, attractive, pretty, whatever, and they went.
It's their job. That's their.
Yeah.
It's visual arts. That's their job.
Now, this morning, it's right in front of me, a picture of Christy Brinkley and her daughter. I can't tell which is the mom and which is the daughter.
She does not age.
She's 65.
She was supposed to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Broke her arm.
Yeah.
It's basically like McConaughey lines. Like, you know what? I get older, but they stay the same age. That's what Christy Brinkley, she looks the same age.
No.
She's 65.
I just said she's 65.
So she could date Ray.
She listened to the show.
She could date Ray.
She's 65.
Ray Liotta.
So now, what about Demi Moore? She's had some work
done. She's had some work done to her face.
And she doesn't look like herself.
She doesn't. She doesn't look like the girl from Striptease.
No, exactly.
No.
Or Disclosure.
Or even St. Elmo's Fire.
I don't know. Mr. Research, let's ask Siri. Hang on.
She's 56.
Demi Moore?
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And that daughter, Rumor Willis, was on Dancing with the Stars and did pretty good. She was pretty good on there.
Yeah, but unfortunately, she got a dad's jaw on that one.
Yeah.
Her dad's
jawline.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
he said jaw.
I didn't know that.
He
slipped into the British thing. Jaw.
Yeah.
She got a dad's jaw.
I will say, I've always said that was I want to be there when Bruce Willis found out that his ex-wife was dating Ashton Kutcher.
I've heard it said both ways.
She's only 15 years older than him.
I'm glad I butchered his name.
Kutcher.
Wait, hold on. Who's what?
Demi Moore is 15 years older than Ashton Kutcher.
That's not that.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of men that are 15 years older than her.
I've never heard of it. Really, it's Kutcher.
It's Kutcher.
Yeah. No, I'm going to butcher his name again.
Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher.
I'm doing it.
Cooch. Isn't Cooch just a
vagina?
Cooch is
Well, because he's an abomination, I'm gonna butcher
Cooch
his name on purpose.
Is like a word, the vaginal word.
Yeah.
So you don't want to call him Aston.
It fits his name.
It'd be like calling him Aston Vagina-er.
That's better.
You don't want to do that.
Vagina.
Aston Snatcher.
I'm doing it now.
So he married Demi Moore in 2005, so that's 14 years ago. So he would have been
lucky.
He would have been 27, and if she's 56,
well done.
She was 42 when he was 27.
Perfect. Well done, Ashton Kutcher.
You bet. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He shows up in a movie, and I just go, no, this is going to be bad.
And here's the other thing. It actually ought to work that way with everybody, because the guys always die leaving. So if the woman's older, man, you got a better chance of you both checking out at the same time. They usually live another 10 years.
He gassed her in 2013, and now he's with Mila Kunis, and she's 6 years younger than Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. Kunis is another dirty sounding name.
But that's the right way to say
it. Oh,
yeah.
He touched her Kunis.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, thank you, Paul. It just doesn't sound
like... He took the Kunis to dinner. I mean, that's basically, you cannot get around that.
Well, if I buy her dinner, maybe I get a little
Kunis. By the way,
Kunis.
If you ever want to know, we're talking about how hot she is, watch Black Swan.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Her and Natalie Portman in that.
You know, and their best friends, Limey.
I think I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Who are we talking about now?
Black Swan? Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis.
She plays a ballet dancer who kind of, you know, she self-tortures herself.
I think I saw it.
It's a long movie, but there's a really good scene in the middle of it, though. That's all I'm
going to say. Yeah, there is.
Very touchy.
She self-tortures herself?
She self-tortures herself.
Okay. Remember when Michael Shannon did that in Boardwalk Empire? Michael Shannon, when he would beat himself with the belt.
I talked to him about that. I interviewed him, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll play you a little.
He was so good in that.
I said, Michael, do you remember when you tortured yourself in Boardwalk Empire? Here's what he said. Michael Shannon. He
was hell yeah, I do. I took the baseball bat out and beat the crap out of myself.
Told you I had him.
Hey,
I had a few frosty ones.
Dan, the best Michael Shannon line is like, man, you see that moon? I wish you could see it.
Moon. Oh, my goodness. I think they were in New York.
So great.
Yeah,
game. And he
so
says, good. He goes, hey, I tell you some folks, a beautiful full moon. I wish you folks in St. Louis could see it.
What? It's the same moon.
Let's try it.
He had nothing on how senile Harry Carey got.
That was the best of his career.
Harry Carey did a Cubs game one time against the Cardinals when Andy Bennis was pitching for the Cardinals, and the Cardinals were winning like 13-1. It was in Wrigley Field, you know, and they made the last out of the game. He goes, that's the final. The Cubs 13 and the Cardinals 1. And
pretty good.
And Steve Stone goes, Harry, that's only the bottom of the 8th inning.
I can totally believe it. There's sometimes on the Cardinal broadcast.
One time Harry Carey thought the Cubs turned to triple play. He's like, you know, there's this, well, I drive to third, out of second, out of first. Steve Stone, like, Harry, so-and-so just struck out. They're just throwing the ball around the horn.
See, that's
pretty good.
That's great entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, and really, there's times where Shannon, he'll just kind of nod off during an inning, and all of a sudden, you know, okay, Dan, do it. Just do a regular play. All of a sudden, 5 seconds later, he comes to it and goes, okay, there's two outs. And they, where have you been, Mike? It's two outs.
Drifted off. Well, how old is he?
He's in his 60s.
Oh, no, Mike Shannon? No, he's older than that.
No, he's in his 70s.
Yeah.
No,
he's
Mike Shannon.
Shannon is definitely
in his 70s. He's turned 80,
Dan. Not the boy.
Well, hold on. I think he's 80. No, I think Mike, honest to goodness, is 80 years old.
Yeah, he's up there.
I believe.
Is he?
He's 80 years old.
Well, you know how I know? I just interviewed him. I'll play it for you.
Oh, you
I
don't?
Said, Mike, how old are you? Here's what he said.
I'm 80 years old because they just pooped in my pants. And I just, because I had to slam down a handy 48 pack.
Now, for the people who love Mike Shannon, that was Dan Strauss making fun of him.
He's
now.
Good.
I intended for that to be
my
a respectful interview.
That's my favorite Dan Strauss impersonation.
No, I got to tell you something.
Maybe Stallone. Maybe Stallone. Stallone Shannon.
Shannon's the best.
Well, I talked to Sylvester Stallone about Dan's impression. I said, Sly, you know, a guy here, Dan Strauss, does a great impression of you. Are you offended by people that do impressions of you? Here's what he said.
Oh, you know, I'm not offended. Not at all. You know, I love Dan. You know, I'll take him up, you know, and box his ears or something, you know.
That's pretty good. As long as we're doing this, Dan doesn't know this, but I've contacted several of the people he does impressions with
to
ask him, and I played them recordings of Dan to see how that one was. Tom Brokaw. I called Tom Brokaw. I said, Tom, we got a guy here named Dan Strauss, and he does impressions of me. I played him a little. I said, what did you think about that? Here's what Tom Brokaw said. Hold on, Limey.
Oh.
No, not that.
That's Alex Trebek.
Brilliant.
Which one?
Dun, dun, dun. It's
NBC.
NBC.
I got you.
Wake up. Brilliant.
Sorry.
Brilliant. Okay.
A Chris Tomberoka, NBC Nightly News. I forgot what the hell the question was because it's been so long.
Comment was that Dan Strauss doesn't impress you. I just played it for you. I wanted to know how you felt about it.
I love it. I think it's great. You know, I'm still pissed off at Brian Williams for taking my spot.
All right, Robert. Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. Tom Brokaw. I'll see you tomorrow night.
What's funny about the sound effect Limey played is when we went on that river cruise in Germany, that was the sound that, that was made before the German-speaking tour director would come on. And I mean, and, you know, it's one thing when somebody does something funny once, and then a second time, yeah, it's kind of funny. Third time, you kind of get
kind of lose its charm.
Yeah. But I swear, that that played on that riverboat 100 times, and every single time Dan could not refrain from immediately going into his Tom Brokaw commentation, and everybody laughed every time he did it.
Yep,
it never got old.
Now, one we almost never do anymore, and Limey may not even know who this guy was, but shortly before he died, I spoke with Walter Cronkite, I said, Walter, we have a guy here named Dan Strauss. He does an impression of you, and I played it for him over the phone. And I said, how do you feel about that? And here's what Walter Cronkite said.
This is Walter Cronkite, reporting live from the Kennedy Space
He's always at the Kennedy Space Center, by the way.
I always liked the impression he did of me, and that's the way it is.
There you go, right there.
Love it. Yeah. You know, Billy Crystal one time did an entire stand-up routine. He emceed an event. It actually wasn't a comedy event, but he did the entire event
as other people
in the voice of Muhammad Ali.
He's good too.
And he did a brief, but he would do Howard Cosell as well. He would do Cosell interviewing Ali, and he'd be both parts. And this went on for like 40 minutes. It's great. I think it's on YouTube. It's the most spectacular impromptu thing. And Muhammad Ali, the best part, was in the audience when he was doing it.
Oh my God.
He liked it. And it's unbelievable. It was a young Billy Crystal. Yeah. It actually was kind of I think I watched a documentary on him, and I'm pretty sure that was the event that sort of catapulted him from no name comedian to somebody that, hey, wow, this guy is something.
I talked to Muhammad Ali about that and asked him if he had seen the Billy Crystal thing, what he thought of Billy's impression of him. Here's what he said. I'm the greatest all the time. Well, son, listen, what about Joe Frazier? I think my Billy Crystal good impression. He's the greatest I've ever heard. Billy Crystal.
Oh, great, man.
Staff of the crew. I got a chance to, Limey, you won't know who this was either, but just before he died, right before he died, I interviewed Walter Brennan, who, old cowboy actor and star of a TV series in the 60s, I think, Real McCoys, and asked him what he thought about my impression of him, and here's what he said. Well, God, Johnny, a lot of people do the impression, man. You're as good as anybody.
Great Walter Brennan.
That's one of my favorites.
I was going to interview Don Knotts, Barney Fife, but he died.
So. Yeah, he did.
I don't have anything.
He died a slow, agonizing death.
Cross him off the list, Len.
Yes, he did.
You know who you did interview, I think, was the Talking Trees from The Wizard of Oz.
Well, I did. Very few people have ever gotten them to grant him an interview.
No.
And just before they died, just before the trees died, I did interview one of the Talking Trees from The Wizard of Oz. And again, I said, Dan Strauss does an impression of you, and I played it for him. I said, what did you think? Here's what the trees said.
I thought it sucked. You know, I threw apples at him. I said, the heck with it. You think my apples are bad?
Talking Trees. Also, had a chance to interview the Scarecrow Ray Bolger from the Scarecrow.
Just before he died.
I think it was 2 days before he died. It's getting out of hand. And Ray Bolger was so offended. He had a tape of Dan, and he had two or three cassettes. He threw one over here and one over there. He just threw the. Well, he told me what he did here. Yeah. Here's the Scarecrow. What did you do? I'd ask him, what did you do with those cassettes of Dan Strauss? Here's what he said.
I took them and I threw them over here, and then I threw them over there, and I threw them over here. They were all over the place.
Scarecrow.
You know, I auditioned for the
right about now, Dan Buff is thinking, I have still, and we're almost the end of the hour, have not even done any of my segments.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm waiting patiently.
It's all right.
No,
you have to now. You can't tease it.
No, Tim did an impression. I auditioned for the part of Mike Damone in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the guy that was was selling the concert tickets.
Hmm.
And I actually kept the audition on tape.
Is this a joke?
Really?
No, he's got it right here. Oh. It's not a joke. Play it for us.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't have any blue oyster cult, but I'll let you know when they come in.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even know the movie. It was still good.
You don't know that?
I know of it, but I've never watched it.
That doesn't come to mind.
You know, Buffett does a sports blog or column, if it
were. For KSDK.
So I think it's appropriate to talk about this. I was going to bring this up yesterday. Paul DeJong, the Cardinal shortstop, hit a home run a couple weeks ago that took out the M in the Big Mac sign. You remember how the Cardinals had Big Mac Land when they had Mark McGwire and the upper deck, two sections over from the foul pole where nobody hardly ever hit a ball. They used to wear hard hats in the helmet, and if you hit one up there.
And what was neat about it was they called him Big Mac, and it was a Big Mac. It was a great time.
And so Big Mac has, even though McGwire hasn't played for the Cardinals in 15, 18 years, Big Mac has continued to sponsor that section.
Wow.
I don't know if they're going to discontinue that after this year, because Paul DeJong hit a home run that knocked the lights out in the M the Big Mac sign. And so for the last couple weeks, it's been Big Ack.
And it was a big hole in it, right? And the ball was sitting in the hole.
The ball actually stuck in the light, you know, because it was embedded, you know. And yesterday, the Cardinals released a YouTube video. Do you know this story about what he did?
Yeah.
Paul DeJong bought the M.
He bought them,
and he loaded it in his car. He's going to put it in his man cave because the Cardinals are saying that the stadium's going to get a facelift next year, and so they didn't order a new M.
Probably
for
not.
The site. He paid $22,000.
He can afford it.
For that. And the money was donated to Ronald McDonald's House in Cardinals Care. I think
I'm surprised they split that.
He makes that in like one at bat.
Yeah, but he should have given it to him.
He donated the money to charity.
Okay.
It was a good PR stunt that you released a YouTube video. But he destroyed that number.
Dan, you know what? You have, honest to goodness, you have like 11 minutes to do your whole segment.
I have one movie review.
You need to investigate or write a column on your blog. I'm worried that they're going to discontinue that sponsorship, and that's like part of the Cardinals lore in the Cardinals stadium.
I'll get the answer by next week.
Yeah, I think you need to dig into that.
Because I would not be surprised. That's 20 plus years old they've been doing that since McGwire got here.
Right. Okay.
It made sense. It makes sense to discontinue.
Why are you here again today?
This is a segment. This
is what happens. We got going with the impressions and then Shawshank.
The truth is, there's not much to talk about right now. There's just not at the theater.
Well, yeah, there is some good stuff at the theater.
What do you want to review?
Well, let's put it this way. Jennifer Lopez, to me, it died off in last few years as being a movie
Jennifer
star.
Lopez.
She got a boing earlier.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, give it two, because in this movie, Limey, you're going to learn to reappreciate Jennifer Lopez. Ooh. She is 50 years old, and it's based on a true story. It's called Hustlers, where it's a group of strippers in New York who basically, you know, they weren't getting their fair share of money. They were kind of being abused a little bit, so they turned the tables on their customers. They started drugging Wall Street tycoons and taking their credit cards and cashing. So they would give them ketamine, what they give horses to knock them out.
See, I don't like that this is a comedy. If it weren't a comedy, I'd go.
It's not really a comedy. People are calling it a comedy are very wrong. It's more of a drama with some comedy in it because it's just what they're doing is really, it's darkly comedic what they do to these people. But they give these guys a mix of ketamine and a very, it's basically kind of like a date rape drug. So they mix those together, and they get them all out of it, and they take their credit card, and they rack up $40,000, $50,000. So that's a true story. It was on a New York Magazine article, and J-Lo, who I think is just, she had a good run in the movies, but has kind of died off. She was on a Ray Liotta TV show on NBC called Shades
of Blue. She's actually also a very good dramatic actress. I really liked it.
And in this movie, she plays kind of like the leader of this group of strippers called Ramona, and this is based on a real person. And I got to say, this is the best performance that she's given since Out of Sight. She is that good in this movie. She is the star of it. It's got Constance Wu. She was in Crazy Rich Asian. She played
the
bride.
The one, in the reviews that I read, she's the one they beat up the most, saying she's the worst in the movie.
You know, I think that she's kind of the center of the story, and her character is right there. I don't think she stands out as much as Jennifer Lopez, but she doesn't have that kind of role.
She stands out like her boobs stick out?
Well, just like as far as performance, and that too. Because in this movie, J-Lo... just about doesn't get completely naked, but for a 50-year-old woman who's never really showed a lot of skin, at least my recollection, she hasn't showed a lot of skin on screen. In the first scene of the movie where we meet Ramona, she comes out on the stage. I mean, J-Lo is wearing barely anything, and she performs. She performs a dance. You know, she's been, you know, she's a very, you know, popular, successful musician, but she had to learn how to be a stripper.
Right.
She had to learn the dance moves, and she does this five-minute number that is just probably one of the most, the best parts of the movie, because it's not just because she's doing it, but it's just a show-stopping
performance. Is it arousing? Would you say
in all meanings of the word.
Okay.
But it's a great, it's a very good movie. It's written and directed by Lorena Scafaria. She hasn't done a lot of movies lately, but she did this one. It's a very interesting story that I think, with Constance Wu, who I think is good in the movie, she's just not as good as J-Lo. Julia Stiles is in this movie. She plays a journalist who interviews one of the strippers.
And I know that's a name I know, but
Ten Things I Hate About You. She was something about 10, 15 years ago.
Okay.
And she's died off. But this is, again, J-Lo, I wouldn't think, when I went into this, I wouldn't have thought, okay, I'm going to come out of it thinking Oscar. But she's in the conversation for being a dark horse. She gives that kind of performance.
Maybe we'll go see. I watched the trailer, and the trailer, this didn't do it.
There's a lot more to it than the trailer.
Okay.
Because when I watched the trailer, I didn't know the extent of what they're doing to these guys. I thought, they're just like...
The trailer makes it also look too comedic.
It also makes it look kind of like an Ocean's 8.
Right, exactly.
Kind of a heist thing. What they do is just, it's... And they also don't shy away from what they're doing is bad. They don't make them out as heroes. I mean, they're trying to get their own. They're trying to get money that, you know, they've been kind of shorted by all these guys. And the people at the strip club, they take a big cut of their money. And so they don't get a lot. So, but they don't really, like, try to, you know, humble these characters or humanize them. They tell them, I mean, for what they are. They do a criminal activity, but seeing them pull it off and knowing they really did it.
Did in real life any of these girls go to jail?
Yes. So some people, it was very minimal. One of the girls kind of agreed to take a deal and kind of...
Hey, what do you think about... this is a sidebar. I'll go ahead and give a rating to Hustlers. How many ARs?
As far as real life, they all kind of got a lot of probation time, and nobody really did any hard time.
I have a question
for
you.
ARDs
for...
Three and a half. And I thought, I wouldn't have thought that. Surprising movie.
Not bad. Out of four, here they come.
All right, Dean.
Felicity Huffman. Or as Mike Evans says, Felicity Hoffman. He always messes it up.
Yeah.
2 weeks, to me, almost sounds like a joke.
It is.
If you're going to prison, you don't go for 2 weeks. How about no prison? It just seems like a joke to me, like a
I think somebody used a great example of a kid who stole a backpack, and he got all this time. He got a couple years in prison. There was a good... They used the two pictures. They had the picture of this young kid, a teenager, an African-American teenager who stole a backpack, got jail time, real jail time, and then have Felicity, it's Hoffman, I guess, or
no,
always
it's Huffman, Huffman, like Huffman. Huffman.
So she had, Huffman. And she's married to William H. Macy from Shameless, so she gets, I mean, it's going to be a country day spa jail, too.
Yeah, she'll barely have time to get her bed linens and clothing and
smoothies
and, she's out again.
And tennis. She's going to have late night movies.
It's a joke.
She can.
And here's the other thing. To be fair, I don't know that she should have even gone to jail at all, because what they do is done every day. Whether it's a donation to the school, you're buying favor for your kid. And I don't even know that if you're going to go after her, go after all these rich people that
make an example out of her. You know, I mean, my gosh, I mean, make a statement. Don't just give her some little slap on the wrist. God, it's probably like a finger to the wrist.
Now, I do think that other chick, Laughlin, what's her name, Lori Laughlin, the other. She's going to do some time.
She's going to do some time.
Because she's defiant. She's not pleading out. I'm fighting this. And she's the one who actually
get 3 months.
Well, but she's the one. Wasn't hers like 500,000? Huffman was 15 grand. It was not a big deal. No. This other chick,
it's a semester.
She was a much bigger offender, I believe.
Yeah, she might get a month, like Limey said. Maybe a hardcore 45 days.
She's a rich, famous actress. Like, she's not going to do any serious jail time at all.
No, you call, did you call her an a-hole?
Yeah, I did.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, they said that she can have.
They can
time
get away with stuff.
To sunbathe as long as she makes her bed every morning.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's what they
said. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't hear the word sunbathing often when you're talking about prison.
Yeah. Tan.
No.
Make your bed, you can sunbathe.
The roof of her room comes off, and then the sun comes in.
No, you're kidding.
No, I mean, the roof thing is, but as far as the making your bed for sunbathing, that sounds, it's going to be a country day spa.
Let me tell you something. I don't know many people who've been to prison in my life. I did know a couple of people, and one of them I had the opportunity to flat out ask about. He did 2 years at Leavenworth. And I said, do you regret it? Are you sorry you did it? He said, I would do the same thing again tomorrow if all I got was another 2 years at that place. And he was a cocaine distributor. Mm-hmm. And he said, the money that I made, that I still have, you bet I'd do it again for 2 years there. I just thought.
They didn't seize his money?
Wow.
No.
Oh, he had money hidden. They didn't even know about it. He said, in a heartbeat.
Just got to know how to protect it.
Yeah,
I think I know who that was.
No, you don't. I know who you're thinking about. Somebody's brother who's no longer alive.
Yes.
This is the woman's husband. That's who you may be.
My favorite John Grisham book is called The Brethren, and it's about three dirty judges who are in jail at a quote-unquote, spa prison down in Florida. And it kind of goes into detail about what those prisons are really like. And these guys are running a scam out of the prison, I might add, is what the book's about.
Well,
but it goes into what that life is really like.
One of the people, and Dan will know who this is, I was actually supposed to have a meeting with this guy, and he called me and said, we can't have a meeting. He said, I forgot, I got to go pick up my brother, Marion, from prison. I said, what? He said, yeah, he's been there a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And I said to him, I said, oh, my goodness. I said, are you going to be able to help him, you think, get a job? It must be tough to get a job after you've been to prison. And he laughed on the phone out loud. He said, he'll never have to work another day in his life. He said, he was a cocaine dealer. He said, he's got so much money, he doesn't have to work. Yeah. And he said essentially the same thing, that his brother said, what a great deal. 2 years to have all the money in the world for the rest of your life?
Well, just imagine, probably one of the things that may have kept him out of prison is to tell them where the money was. He didn't do that. They will hide the money and do prison time and get out and go, okay, now I have all my money buried in the field over there.
All right. I'm sorry we took so much of your time today.
I do want to do a kind of a...
You have 30 seconds.
A deep tease.
Actually, a minute.
Next week, I'm going to be reviewing a new Brad Pitt film. Brad Pitt's going to space and Astra.
Oh.
And I've seen it, and it's got Tommy Lee Jones.
Tremendous review.
I'm going to just leave it there. Wow. I'm going to review it next week. Brad Pitt going to space. He's having a great year. Until next week, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of him.
Okay. There you go. Dan Buffa, everybody. He'll be back again next Tuesday. We'll do it again. Brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. I'm going to flip a couple of sponsors here, and just one for the other, and because of time constraints or whatever. Thank you, Dan, for letting us eat up your segment. And thanks for the good news about Banshee. Season 4. Whew. Somebody just coughed.
Oh.
You didn't get him. I heard it.
Give
it to him.
Typically, there's been an unwritten rule that if you don't do it directly into the microphone, you get it.
I didn't know.
Be turned off. I thought.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
He gave me warning.
Can you edit it out? Edit
it. Sure. Gotcha.
Edit it out.
Radio edit.
As I was saying, I didn't hear anybody do anything. I'd like to talk to you, if I could, about going to the dentist, but not just the dentist, but capital T-H-E, the dentist, actually the dental clinic called Ballast Dental Care. 46 years. I am 46 years and May, June, July, August, September, almost 46 and a half years. In another month, it'll be 46 and a half years that I have gone to Ballast Dental Care. That's a long time. It's enough time that when I tell you everything that I've told you and will tell you about Ballast Dental Care, I know what I'm talking about. I was going there long before they were part of this show. It took about 25 years before they finally realized, hey, we've got a great spokesman in this guy who's been a patient for 25 years. Why don't we let him tell everybody about Ballast Dental Care? And so thankfully, I'm so grateful that they did. And have for the last 16 or 17 years. So here's the message in a nutshell. Going to the dentist is not something that most people enjoy. It is not something most people look forward to. It's not something pleasant. It's something they put off, delay, change the appointment, let's push it back a little bit. Or sometimes they don't make appointments at all because they're so petrified of going to the dentist. That is not a good idea. Those people I just described are people who have never, ever had an appointment at Ballast Dental Care. And that's too bad. And I feel kind of bad for all the people who don't listen to this show. And there's no excuse geographically for not listening. You go, well, we live too far away. Hey, we have listeners all over the world. I had a guy who sent me an email the other day, listens every day in Honduras. So that's not an excuse. It's there for people to listen to. So the people who choose not to listen, I feel bad for them because they probably are not going to ever go to Ballast Dental Care. Their loss, your gain. You will never, ever again dread going to the dentist. And I'm not kidding. Ballast Dental Care, 46 years. That's my story. I'd love to hear yours. Make that appointment. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com. The home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. President Trump is praising his former campaign director, Corey Lewandowski, for his opening statement at today's hearing before the House Judiciary Committee. Lewandowski frustrated Democrats by refusing to answer many of their questions after claiming they were proceeding down the wrong path.
In a House hearing, Lewandowski was combative.
We as a nation would be better served if elected officials like yourself concentrated your efforts to combat the true crises facing our country, as opposed to going down rabbit holes like this hearing.
And elusive, Georgia Democrat Hank Johnson.
And Mr. Lewandowski, you...